I'd like to read in the book of the Acts, chapter 17. Acts 17 and verse 16. Now while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. And the Gospel by Luke, chapter 16 and verse 22. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lived. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Verse 27. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophet, let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophet, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. In chapter 18, verse 35, and it came to pass that as he was come nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. Hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. And he cried, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And they which went before rebuked him, that he should hold his peace. But he cried so much the more, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, what wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, receive thy sight. Thy faith hath saved thee. And immediately he received the sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. Now a final reading in the Gospel by Mark, chapter 1. Verse 40. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand, and touched him, and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. That's all we read. We trust the Lord will bless the reading of his word, and that which is gone before, to each heart gathered here tonight. I would like tonight to speak on men whose souls were stirred. We know that people get stirred up at hockey games and football games and so on. But we read from the book of the Acts chapter 17. Here's a gospel preacher. And we read that his soul was stirred. What stirred him? He saw multitudes of people going to hell. And his spirit was stirred in him. Many times people that attend gospel meetings, they wonder, why do they get so excited? Well, my friend, that's one reason. Whenever we realize souls are going to hell, once we were in that same place, but God in mercy saved us. His spirit was stirred in him when he saw souls going to hell. We read from Luke chapter 16, here's a man in hell, and his soul is stirred. What's he all alarmed about? He's got five brothers at home. He wants Lazarus sent with a message to those five boys, that Lazarus might testify unto them, to warn them lest they also come into this place of torment. A message they never received. We trust you'll receive it tonight. It's for you. They had Moses and the prophet. You have this experience of this man in Luke chapter 16. We read in chapter 18 of Bartimaeus. Here's a man was stirred. What stirred him? Why, he had a golden opportunity. Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. Here was an opportunity for him to have his sight restored. And when he began to cry out, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. The crowd said, hold your peace. The crowd sought to hinder him. The crowd is seeking to hinder you from getting God's salvation. He cried so much the more. Oh, he was stirred. This is my opportunity. We know it was his last one, but he didn't. This may be your last opportunity tonight. How do you know? Your soul may be drifting over the deadline tonight. But then we read of another man who was stirred. Here's a man full of leprosy. And he comes to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. The Lord Jesus moved with compassion. Ah, that tender-hearted Savior. As he looked upon the man in all his need, he had compassion towards him. Was the Savior willing for his cleansing? He said, I will, be thou clean. Immediately, that man was cleansed. How was a sinner saved? My friend, by the word of God. He that heareth my word, believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life, shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. The Savior moved with compassion. He's willing to save you in our gospel meeting tonight. Now, Acts chapter 16, Paul was led to Athens. And as he looked round about him, he saw people that were very religious, but they were all worshipping idols. He knew the folly of those idols. He saw sinners on their way down to hell, and it stirred his soul. A few years ago, a preacher was asked to preach in a prison on a Sunday afternoon where he was told there'd be 500 men come and meet in that auditorium for to hear him preach. On the Saturday he thought, I've never been there before, I would like to go and see what that auditorium's like. So he asked permission from the warden, could he see where he would preach on the Sunday. The warden brought him into a large auditorium. And as he looked round it and viewed every seat, he walked up to the front. Right on the side, there were two chairs, separate from the rest. They were draped in black. He said to the warden, what does this mean? The warden said, preacher, there'll be a man in each of those two chairs tomorrow. What you preach will be the last message they will ever hear. For they're for the electric chair on Monday morning. Do you think that would stir up the heart of that preacher? That he was preaching to two mortals who would be in eternity the next day. Is that enough to stir a man's soul? What about the boys on the chair? How do you think they would listen? Would they be telling tales? Would they be passing notes? If they're wise, they would listen for eternity. There may be chairs in our meeting that we don't know, draped with black tonight. This may be the last time you'll ever hear the gospel call. It would not be the first time we've preached to people that never heard the gospel again. May God help you to be faithful to God and faithful to you, lest you miss this great salvation. Paul's soul was stirred within him. What moved him? Ah, sinners going the broad road, down to hell as fast as time could take them. And he preached the gospel to them. There were three results of his preaching. There were some that mocked. You're only a blather. There were those that said, well, we'll hear you again sometime. Not tonight. But thank God for those that believed the message. Now who was the happiest of the three? Those that mocked, those that put it off, or those that received it? You know, those that received Christ were happy. They had received everlasting life. They were saved by the grace of God. I want to come to my second scripture. It's very solemn. It's very searching. It makes me tremble whenever I think of souls that we have preached to and have even had to preach at their funeral. And as we looked at their form in the casket, the thought striking, their souls in hell. That's not an easy thing. That's the hardest thing in gospel preaching. Knowing that you're speaking to living people, all we can do is preach the gospel. Here's a man in hell. He's interested in five brothers. Still in his father's house. I believe he was young. I believe that they were young. They were all still in the father's heart. I would take it they were not married. But he had died. Five brothers living, one brother in hell. And as he thinks back, he wanted Lazarus to leave heaven and go and tell his five brothers. Why did he not want to go himself? Listen carefully, friend. There's no loophole
out of hell.
He was there. He knew he was there. He knew he would never be out. And he wanted Abraham to send Lazarus to deliver the message to these five boys. But he never did it. Did it ever strike home to you the reality of a hell? This past year, my dad died. I sent for my son and my grandson to come from Nova Scotia to Ireland for the funeral. They arrived at 12 o'clock, and the funeral was at 2:30. I took them to see my dad's remains. And then on the way home, I went past a place, and I stopped the car. I said, Ian, that's my son, Brian, my grandson. I said it was in this spot that my Uncle Arthur was killed, riding up on a motorbike. A number of years ago, this young man, 19 years of age, my uncle, he went to his mother and asked her for a cushion. She says, what do you want a cushion for? Well, he says, I want to go in the back fender of a motorbike. She says, Arthur, I won't give you a cushion. I don't want you to go in that motorbike. Oh, he says, Mama, it's only 4 miles. No, she says, I'm not giving it to you. He came up to our house. My mother was a sister. He said, Ethel, I would like to borrow a cushion or a pillow. What do you want with a pillow or a cushion? He says, Alec Gordon's going on the motorbike and I want to get a ride in the back. We're only going to the Murray 4 miles away. I'll only be gone 15 minutes. She says, no, I don't think I should give it to you. He says, I'll be back in 15 minutes. Give it to him. He got on the back of the motorbike. They left that little village to go 4 miles. Going around this corner that I stopped at, the footrest hit the bank. Those two young men were flung from that motorbike. My uncle went to port. He landed on his head. The driver, two arms broken, two legs broken, other bones broken in his body. But he lived. My uncle was taken to the hospital, unconscious. My grandfather was informed. And she went to that hospital as fast as she could get. There lay the boy who only an hour before asked her for a cushion or a pillow to go in this motorbike, and she wouldn't give it to him. But as she was there, she poured into his ear the gospel. She quoted John 3:16, but there was no response. And Arthur Scott went out to meet God. His mother lived for 4 years. Was never known to smile. When she came out of that hospital, what was her language? Arthur's in hell. Arthur's in hell. We buried my dad. Walking away from his grave, I came to the gravesite of Arthur Scott. That's my grandfather. He had a plot there where a number of the family are all buried. But I stopped with my son and grandson. I said, Ian and Brian, there lies Arthur Scott, my uncle. His soul's in hell. His grave is left. Struck home. Did it ever strike home to you the reality of hell? I have an uncle, one an uncle at least, a wee nose in hand. I wonder would he desire to send a message back to some of his relatives that were living. That young man sat in a gospel meeting one night beside another young man. Both of them shed tears about their soul. God save Sam Jordan, the fellow right beside him. I preached with him in Ireland just a few years ago. My uncle sat there and he went. He'd have liked to have been saved. But not tonight. Friend, you have an opportunity. Would you receive a message from hell tonight? From a man that is already there? He wants five brothers warned, lest they come into this place of torment. Do you want to go there? Is that your aim? Or you say, nobody wants to go there. That's right. But the vast majority of people are going. Why? They have no time for God or Christ or salvation. Have you got any time? Have you got any time tonight? Friend, hell's real. Sometimes it strikes us, strikes right home. We trust it will strike home to your heart tonight. If you are not saved, our brother read from 1 Samuel 20 and verse 3. You're only one step from hell, from whence there's no return. In a place where there's no salvation, there's no Christ, nothing but endless woe. Do you believe it? May it reach your heart. May it reach mine. This may be the last time I'll ever preach the gospel to you. This may be the last time I'll ever preach the gospel. This may be your last night upon earth. Oh, may God move you tonight to seek the Savior. Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. He's passing your way. He wants to save you. How much do you want to be saved? Must it be tonight or never? I mentioned one night in Nineveh, Nova Scotia. I said, and this is a bit of minor, he stayed behind after a gospel meeting and he said, it's got to be settled tonight or never. I said, is there a sinner in our meeting who would come to that point? I want to be saved, it's tonight or never. I had about 15 people to take home after the meeting. I gathered them up before meeting, took them back after meeting. This girl about 20 years of age, on her way out of the van, she said, Mr. Bingham, I wouldn't say what you asked us to say tonight. Well, I said, what was that? Well, she said, you said, make up your mind that you want to be saved tonight or never. She says, I would be afraid to do that. I said, why? Well, she said, that means that if I didn't get saved tonight, I would never get saved. That's not honest. She said she wanted to be saved. You want to be saved? She didn't want to be saved that night. Do you want to be saved tonight? Or would tomorrow night be all right? Friend, people that get salvation are those who put it first. And there's no shortcuts to heaven. Luke, Mark's Gospel, chapter 1. If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. This man learned one thing that's really necessary in the salvation of a sinner. What is it? That salvation
is all outside of yourself.
You see, you're looking for salvation in here. You'll never get it. Salvation is all outside of yourself. If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. My dad and I had meetings in Thunder Bay a number of years ago. He was over here on a visit, and he went there for a meeting. There for 4 weeks. The last night of the meeting, a man going out the door said to me, "Boy," he says, "I wish you were staying 2 more weeks. I said, "Why 2 more weeks? He says, "If you stayed 2 more weeks, I believe I would receive." I said, "I don't believe you would. Doesn't take God 2 weeks to save a sinner." But the meetings were closed. I went home and I said to my dad, "We're not leaving tomorrow. It was Sunday night, we're leaving Tuesday morning." And we went over to see that man on Monday night. And over there about 7 o'clock, there's his Bible open on the table, trying to get saved. His wife and family were there. When we arrived, they put the family to bed. They were young. We sat down and began to scan the scripture. Finally, I said to him, I said, "Peter, salvation's all outside of yourself." He said, "It is not." I said, "It's all outside of yourself. There's nothing in you." He says, "I never heard that before. I don't believe it." Well, I said, "You'll never get salvation in Peter Robinson. But you get salvation in Christ. It's all outside of yourself." We read a few verses. Finally, one of them was 1 Peter 2:24. "Who his own self bare our sin in his own body in the tree." I says, "Peter, make it personal." He read it like this. "Who his own self bare my sins in his own body in the tree." He said, "There's a wee bit of light coming. Salvation is always said of myself." He says, "I can see that here. It's all in Christ. It was Christ his own self bare my sin in his own body in the tree." But we read on a while. Finally it came to about 12:45. I says, "Peter, we gotta go." One verse before we go, Isaiah 44:22. Read it. He read it. His countenance changed. He stood up. His Bible opened, Isaiah 44:22. He says, "I've got it. It's all I said of myself. God says I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgression, and as a cloud thy sin. Return unto me, for I have redeemed thee." He said, "It's all done. It's all I said of myself. Christ is my Savior. Christ is my substitute." Is that salvation? If you get salvation all outside of yourself, you'll never get it in here. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Thou shalt be saved. The tender compassion of a loving Savior. He's willing. He says, "I will." Do you? Oh, the sinner says, "Well, I would like to." No peace. "I want to." Throw it out. It's either "I will" or "I won't." Which is it the meeting tonight? The Savior said, "I will." What about you? Our God and Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank Thee for the gospel message. We thank Thee for the Word of God that's near. We pray that some soul may drink it in and trust the Savior and know the joy of sins forgiven. We pray that salvation will come to this place tonight. Father, we need Thee. O God, presence Thyself. Disturb poor sinners, lest they land in hell to be there forever. We pray for the salvation of their precious souls for eternity. Part us with Thy blessing. Preserve each one. Remember the mockers. Remember the careless. Those putting it off. Grant that some may believe and be saved. These things we ask in the name and for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We're glad to see those who have come to the meeting tonight. I trust you'll take these things to heart. We're not here to play church. We're not looking for members for the church, as they say. Our one aim is souls for Christ. And if you get Christ, you've got everything. If you haven't got Christ, friend, you've got nothing. Your bankbook may be well padded. You don't use dollars and cents in eternity. We trust you'll put salvation first for the glory of God. We'll just sing the first verse of number 82. O sinner, the Savior is calling for thee. Long, long has He called thee in vain. He called thee when joy led its crown to thy death. He called thee in sorrow and pain. First verse and chorus of 82.